welcome to the third episode of our podcast. We have an actual name. So this is episode 3 of Ironcast. I'm Paul Hamilton, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host and wife, Nikki. Say hello, Nikki.
Hello.
So we went with Ironcast. We asked for audience participation. and
overwhelmingly.
Yes, overwhelming. We got 2 votes. A landslide victory for Ironcast. And you weren't quite sure about it at first, but maybe it's like Calliope and you'll warm to it. What do you think?
I think so. Although I did not have to warm to Calliope.
Oh, maybe it's like, I guess that was me that had to warm to it, so that doesn't even work.
But I get what you're saying, it's fine.
But I guess you were a little concerned because it harkened to the iron soap thing, and that's always been sort of my gig, right?
Right. For a very long time now, too.
What do you figure out? Almost 10 years I've been doing iron soap?
I think that's a little bit longer. It hasn't quite been 10 years because you're working on our 10-year anniversary of marriage, so.
Right. I guess I started in 2002, so about 8 years or something like that. But
that was like pregnancy math right there. Started in 2002 and it was 10 years ago?
I was rounding.
By a lot.
But no, you round, if it's above 5, you round it up, right?
You know what? We're just going to make sure that we get a tutor for Callie when she does math.
That's her only hope, honestly.
Because we can't help her.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
See, you know, I knew I should have made a left turn at Albuquerque.
That's entertainment.
So this week we have a new segment about entertainment, and this is based on the suggestion of our biggest and only fan, Jay, who said while he's enjoyed our 2 podcasts so far, he thought that we could definitely use an entertainment or food segment. And while I'm always down to talk about food, this week we're going with entertainment.
Do we like flip a coin on that or
Yeah, I think maybe next week we'll go with food, but I don't know how much I can talk about the cereal I'm consuming these days before people will get bored.
Pops.
So we can start with the movie that we've seen recently. Yeah, and we saw it at home because we don't really get out to the movie theater that much these days.
Yeah, I still want to see Up, but I haven't had a chance to do it. And then you heard that it's a tearjerker, right? So that turn you off from it, or?
Yeah, I don't know where I heard that, but somebody said that it was a little bit sad, and I figured if I cried at, you know, Star Trek, then I would definitely cry at a Pixar movie. And that was highly embarrassing, I must say.
Well, you cried at the preview for what is it, The Last Guardian? That video game trailer? It wasn't even the game, it was just a trailer.
Because either the boy or the animal is going to die before the thing is over.
Oh, I know. It's.
And that's just heartbreaking because they were so cute.
Yep.
Oh, see, you've got me all emotional again.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so we avoid the movies these days because, one, they're super expensive, and, two, I have the bladder the size of half of a pea. Because I believe it was the size of a pea prior to pregnancy.
True. Yeah, it's pretty microscopic these days.
It doesn't hold much, and then Callie plays the bathroom dance
the game. Maracas with your bladder.
Yeah. She's like, let's see how hard I can bounce. So that's fun. So I figure if we're paying like, what, $20 a ticket, I don't want to spend half of the movie trying to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So that's why we watch everything at home.
It's okay. We got a decent entertainment setup, so.
Yeah, we do.
So we finally got a chance to see Slumdog Millionaire. Were you looking forward to it? I never actually got a sense of whether you were excited about it or you just kind of, yeah, sure, I'll watch it.
You know, I had read just a brief synopsis about what it was about, and then I saw it win all those awards, but I didn't ever really see any previews for it, so I wasn't quite sure what it was about. So I was interested because I'm always interested in seeing a movie that wins a lot of awards, because I figure it's got to be entertaining.
It's got to have something going for it.
Yeah. So I was interested in that aspect.
So I guess it didn't have much expectations to live up for with you. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. It was a little long.
Yeah, did seem to kind of need a little extra trimming in some of the parts. But they spent a lot of time with it, because, I mean, the whole thing is this series of flashbacks, right, where you're sort of understanding why he knows all the answers to these Who Wants to Be a Millionaire questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend a ton of time with flashing back to his early childhood, which I guess makes a certain amount of sense. But, I mean, there's a segment where he's sort of loose in the streets as, I don't even know how old he's supposed to be in that early, like, 10?
I guess. It's tough younger, to say.
Maybe 8 or something?
They seemed fairly young when they kind of went off on their own. Him and his brother.
Right. So him and his brother are kind of doing their thing or whatever, and there's like this long sequence where they jump on a train, and they kind of jump off the train at one point, and then they're like rolling down the side of the track, and they stand up and they're like different actors all of a sudden, and they're a little bit older, so I guess it was supposed to be like some passage of time thing.
They're quite a bit older.
And
like, I'd say 10 years older.
Which I thought was a really weird and awkward way to handle it, considering you're already doing flashbacks. I didn't understand why they couldn't have cut to the present or whatever. And then when they cut back, been like, oh, and here's what happened, you know, a few years later or whatever. If they weren't going to fill in the gap between the two ages, why have this awkward transition? I just thought that was really weird. And then they spend this whole long segment of them in this middle age between the sort of present older whatever and then the really young kids, and they're like kind of running around the Taj Mahal, like running scams and all this, and none of it ever really seems to matter for where the movie is going, I guess. And
yeah, because most of the time whatever little like flashback they show you is leading up to how he got the information for whatever question he was just asked.
Right, and the only thing that this one had anything to do with is that they go through this long series of cons, and one of them results in him getting $100 bill, a U.S. $100 bill, and then several more sequences later, it comes up as to why he knows something about the $100 bill, which ends up being one of the questions on the game show. And it's like, I think we could have skipped all of him getting the money and just, you know, thrown in a little reason for him to have the bill and then show the scene where he learns something about it, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly how long the movie was, but toward the end of it, I was kind of thinking, let's get this going here, you know? I mean, it was entertaining. I thought it was good, but There was a lot of stuff in there that I thought was either really extraneous or dragged too long.
It was one of those movies for me that, and that I can't think of any other examples right now, but I know that I've seen movies like this before where I think that was a good movie, but it's not a movie I would sit down and watch over and over again.
Does it seem to you like some of the big Academy Award winning movies, especially the more recent ones, are kind of like that?
Yeah, I think so. Like it, I don't know what it was about it. I don't know if it was that it was kind of a, it was tough to watch at times, I thought.
Well, it did have a certain grim air to it throughout most of it. I mean, I think you kind of got the sense that it was going to be a comedy in the sense, in the Shakespearean sense, you know, like it was going to have a happy ending.
Right.
But up until that point, it was pretty raw in a lot of cases.
I mean, I was looking away at times.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that I watched it. I was entertained by it. I don't know that I would ever want to own it. I don't know that I would have picked it as the best movie from last year that I saw. And it certainly wasn't sort of ceaselessly entertaining or whatever, because I did get fidgety at times.
Well, it was like you had talked about, you know, right after we watched it, we really felt like The Dark Knight was a way better movie and should have won a lot of the awards that I think that Slumdog Millionaire ended up winning.
Because there was no point in The Dark Knight where I felt like I'm waiting for something else to happen. I'm waiting for this movie to get back on track.
You know, right.
From beginning to end, I was thoroughly entertained and I was sort of enraptured by the whole thing. And then it was over and I was like, yeah, I could totally watch that again. And
we did. We saw it twice in the theater.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know that there was nothing for me to complain about with Slumdog. I mean, obviously, I had some problems with the length. And I can't think of anything that I didn't like about The Dark Knight.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I think we saw The Dark Knight and we went out and we told everybody, you have to see this movie. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to just see it because of the Heath Ledger aspect of it, although he was excellent in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a great movie all around.
Right.
That you could, and you know, definitely recommend to people. I guess I would recommend Slumdog Millionaire to people. But I wouldn't say, like, if we had seen it in the theater, I definitely wouldn't say, oh, you have to go see this in the theater right now. If you didn't see Dark Knight in the theater,
you were kind of missing something.
Totally.
Right. And I think, you know, like, there was a lot of people who were saying, you know, people's expectations were going to be really high going into The Dark Knight, considering some of the buzz that was around Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker. And we got out, and I felt like that I couldn't, even if people had high expectations for it already, I couldn't raise their expectations higher and risk them being disappointed. Like, you couldn't have high enough expectations going into that movie, and you know what I mean? Because they it would meet them, no matter how high they were.
Yeah.
I think that if somebody was really excited to see Slumdog, because of all the, you know, the Oscar, they hadn't seen it yet, and they were like, oh, you've seen it, you know, how is that? I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Kind of lower your threshold going in a little bit, and I think you might enjoy it, but don't think it's going to be the best movie in the world, because it I don't think it was.
Or even the best movie of last year.
Right. So what else have we been watching?
Well, we've kind of made our way back to the Food Network, I think.
We took a little hiatus from it for a while there. Was that the first trimester rearing its ugly head?
I think that may have been what it was. I'm trying to remember now, because I know that for a while I watched it when I was in the first trimester, which was just the most torturous thing I've ever done, because I couldn't eat anything. And so it was just like, well, let me just watch this wonderful Food Network and look at all the food I can't have. I think that's when I started my list.
The list of foods you were definitely going to eat once you could eat again?
Yep. That we found recently. But then I think, I don't know, maybe I was just watching it too much for a while and I just took a complete break from it.
Well, I even remember at one point you were watching like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or whatever that show is. And you were saying how like watching all the greasy food that guy eats was sort of making your stomach hurt, even though you were starving to death and sick and everything. And you were just kind of like, I can't even watch this guy eat some of this stuff because I'm afraid he's going to fall over of a heart attack and take me with him somehow.
Yeah. So we took a bit of a break from it. And then, I think we came back to it because I think it's always just an easy channel, just turn on in the background if you just want mindless stuff going on. And we realized that the next Food Network star was starting up again, which we've watched every season since it was first on.
I think we missed the very first one. Didn't they have like two dudes that won it the first time and they never really went anywhere?
Oh, that's right. We did miss the first season because I think their show is still on that channel every once in a while on Saturdays. But really, the only person that ever went anywhere from that show was Guy.
Yeah.
everybody else has just been like, what happened to him?
Well, I think they're still trying with the guy that won last year. Yeah,
that annoys me.
Well, you didn't want him to win anyway. You wanted the weepy lady to win.
She was so put together. She was like Martha Stewart put together.
If Martha Stewart would cry over...
You can't get past that, can you? She was in touch with her emotions.
She touched him, all right. Every opportunity. So what do you think of the new season?
You know, so far I like it. I think we've seen 2 episodes. It's standing out to me in my mind as the first season where there's about half of the people I would just get rid of right away.
Yeah.
They just have annoyed me off the bat.
Like did that guy that you couldn't stand, the crazy outlandish guy, is he the one that got kicked off this week?
I think he did. Somebody that I wanted to get kicked off got kicked off for sure this week, and I'm pretty sure it was him. Because he totally sabotaged that poor woman.
Who's one of your favorites to begin with, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's like the housewife that is basically just a home cook.
Yeah, absolutely no experience.
So she's trying to deal with these industrial kitchens, and she can't figure out how to light the burners, and she's struggling to boil water in some cases, it seems like.
I mean, she's kind of a train wreck, but she's endearing.
Right.
And this guy was just pompous. He thought he was way funnier than he is. And it was nice to see him just kind of taken down a peg.
Well, he got taken down as many pegs as you can go on that show, I guess.
For the win.
Anybody else sort of... because you kind of latched on to that girl that was second place last year early on, I thought. And held on for most of the show. And were pretty disappointed when she got beaten out by that other guy. Are you pretty much in camp home cook housewife lady this time, or are you...
No, I like her, but I don't want her necessarily to win the competition.
So who are you pulling for?
I think that I like the one guy that all the gay guys on the show are hot for, with all the hair.
What? Oh, he's got kind of a big forehead or whatever.
Yeah, and he's got the like curly hair and the two.
He looks like an old school surfer from like Santa Monica or something, you know, like he still surfs every morning but not competitively anymore, so he just runs the shop or whatever, you know, but it's owned by like his brother who's so he's like super tan and just kind of like laid back for the most part.
Oh, I know who it is that I really like on there was I don't know, I think her name's Jamaica.
Yeah, the really petite lady that's like, she half Jamaican or something like that?
I think so, and she's just super sweet and funny, and she seems like everything that she's cooked so far, we've both said, oh, I would totally try that.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the other stuff that people have put together has been a little questionable, so.
Well, some of them I don't understand why, you know, I mean, you're on a show where the whole premise of it is you're supposed to show that you are capable of having a TV show about your cooking, and they're like making salads or something, you know?
Well, that was like right out the gate too.
Something I could make, you know? They're like, oh, here, I'm putting together here's some pancakes and eggs, you know? Like, seriously? Because I'm pretty sure most bachelors can put that together, and this is supposed to be your, keep calling it the culinary identity or something like that. It's like, so your culinary identity is, you know, the equivalent of Top Ramen and Blue Box Macaroni and Cheese. Good choice.
It makes you wonder who they cut prior to filming.
Yeah, because they keep calling them finalists. Like, there was a whole bunch of other people that lost their chance so that these guys could get on TV even for the couple of weeks that they can manage to keep it together. And
Makes you think Pickens or Slim.
They're out there making oatmeal or whatever.
And then it seems that we've suddenly become addicted to another Food Network competition show, even. Chopped.
Which somehow we missed when it first came out. I mean, I remember hearing about it, but the only thing I remember hearing about is, I think it was Entertainment Weekly or something, was griping that the host of the show, Ted Allen, says the word chopped about 200 times per episode, and it drove
Which
him crazy.
He does.
And it's totally true. He absolutely overuses the name of the show. And I think it's supposed to be the hook, and the hook of the show isn't even this whole chopping block thing. I mean, it's just another word for voting off the island. But yeah, man, he has latched onto that, and he's running with it. But other than that, somehow, I think I just thought it was an Iron Chef ripoff, and there was no point in watching it.
It was like an amateur Iron Chef almost, but. But then we watched the first time, and the premise is actually that they give you these really random ingredients that would never, ever go together.
Right.
And you have to make something out of it. So they start with, I think, 4 people, and they do an appetizer round. And they have 20 minutes to make something out of, like, I think one time we saw, and they had, like, box macaroni and cheese with, like, pickles and fish or something. And they were like, go.
Right. Yeah, it was like monkfish, right? And
yeah.
Box macaroni and cheese. And I think they give them 3 secret ingredients for the appetizer round, and they give them 4 for the entree round, and then they eliminate one of the chefs at the end of each, and so by the time they get to the dessert round, there's 2 of them left. And they're pretty much just trying to please the judges, right? I mean, there's no scoring mechanism like there is with Iron Chef.
Right.
So
it's just whichever they like the best.
Yeah, they just get, or actually whichever they like the least, right? Because they get rid of somebody every time.
Right.
And it's whoever, the last man standing ends up, I think you win some amount of $10,000, is that right?
Yeah.
So they win some amount of money. I actually think that the secret ingredients thing that they do on that is a little bit better than the Iron Chef thing, where it's they have like a theme ingredient, and because it's supposed to be secret, but I can't imagine that these Iron Chef people can get started fast enough with what they're about with what they're doing if they had no prior knowledge of what it was going to be. Because like sometimes they come up with something like, you know, swordfish or whatever, and okay. If you had a menu in mind and you didn't know what the meat of the day was going to be, you could probably make the entire menu without knowing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just put a question mark wherever there was supposed to be some sort of meat product. But every once in a while, they'll throw something at them like, you know, goat's milk. It's like, how could you possibly have put together a menu that was flexible enough to accommodate having to feature goat's milk in it, you know? So I don't think it's really secret.
And they make like 5 dishes on that show in an hour.
Right, and it's all with the same quote-unquote secret ingredient. I think what's cool about Chopped is that you can tell these people are just flabbergasted when they see what some of these random combinations are that come out. And, you know, they'll even stand there for a couple of seconds after the timer started, sort of staring there drooling, like, how am I supposed to mix, you know, beet greens with, you know, chocolate syrup or whatever. And it's fun to watch them sort of squirm, I think, is the best part of the show, really.
It has been frustrating when we've watched it and pretty obvious mistakes have been only slightly touched on by the judges. Like we watched an episode where the guy didn't plan correctly and thought he had enough time to do something with the chicken that he didn't have, and he served the chicken raw, like not even undercooked, just raw. Like the judges said, we can't even eat this. And
right.
he made it to the next round.
Yeah.
And to me, I was thinking, you know what? That would have been it for me. This guy needs to go. Because in my opinion, he shouldn't have even put the chicken on the plate.
Well, I mean, it was surefire salmonella. No two ways about it. You're getting sick if you eat this.
Mm-hmm.
Probably even cold in the middle. And I don't know how they were even able to taste it, because I wouldn't have even tasted anything. Because I think he put it on like a salad of some sort, right? Like underneath it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even eaten that salad if it had been touching all that raw chicken.
Mm-mm.
But here's the thing. How do you got to feel if you're the person who gets eliminated instead of the guy that just gave a bunch of judges who are supposed to be culinary sort of experts of their own right raw chicken? How bad was your food that you
exactly.
couldn't even stand up to, a night on the John?
Or, when the contestants completely leave out an ingredient. Like, to me, that's automatic disqualification. If you couldn't even put it in there at all, you didn't play by the rules, you're out of here.
But that doesn't seem to be how it works. For whatever Mm-mm. reason, they have their own drummer that they march to, so...
If you undercook something, you're going to get me sick. Or if you completely ignore one of the ingredients, I say you're out. You're chopped.
Well played.
Thank you.
So what else have we been doing this week?
So this next show, you don't watch ever with me because it gives you a headache a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But... I will admit that I am addicted to reality shows. It is my guilty pleasure. I know that it's a horrible thing to be addicted to, but it's mindless, and sadly, it's entertaining to me.
You don't have to apologize for what entertains you.
Like, you give me a hard time about it. I mean, you've given me a hard time about The Hills before.
You don't have to apologize, but I don't have to leave it alone either.
So I got stuck on this Real Housewives franchise, and it's on Bravo.
Oh, it's a franchise.
It is a franchise. It started many seasons ago with just the Real Housewives of Orange County. And I think it was supposed to be a play on Desperate Housewives.
Really?
I think so, because at the beginning of the show, it shows all of them, and they are holding, I think, oranges for Orange County. Kind of like, in Desperate Housewives, how they all hold the apples.
Oh, I see where the connection is.
But these are the Real Housewives, which is amusing because there's nothing real about these ladies at all. Especially the ones in Orange County.
Well, are they actually housewives? Maybe that's the difference.
But this is the thing. This is the really interesting part, is a lot of them aren't.
Aren't housewives? Or aren't wives?
Well, here's the thing. Some of them aren't even wives, so I don't even know how they have qualified at all. And a bunch of them work.
So they really need to throw some air quotes around real in that title.
Well, and housewives, I would say. So they started off with Orange County, and it did pretty well, so they decided to expand their franchise to New York.
Okay.
And then they decided, well, that's not enough. We need to do Atlanta.
Okay.
Which I only watched a couple episodes of. That was, I think, to make sure that we got all demographics involved in the franchise.
So we got the South, we got the West, we got the big city North.
Right.
So what, the next one is like Real Housewives Seattle, just sort of corner.
You would think, but they didn't do that. They decided for the next installment, they were going to go with New Jersey. Because it's far away from New York.
the second runners to the Real Housewives of New York, is that what that is?
Exactly. These chicks in New Jersey, I think I'm going to crown them the craziest of the bunch.
That sounds like a dubious honor.
Yeah, well, it's nothing to be proud of. But, I mean, they only gave them 6 episodes, the New Jersey Housewives. And I don't know if it's because they were new and they wanted to make sure that people would even watch it.
Like a fourth version of the same
right.
Formula. Like,
exactly.
Are there even still people out there watching any of this?
Yep. Raising my hand right now. Bring it on. What's the next installment? They keep adding them. Pretty soon the entire year will be filled up and I'll never have to have any time off between Housewives.
The Real Housewives of Cheyenne or whatever. Real Housewives of Ashland, Kansas.
Exactly. So these girls are just pretty much, it's like watching The Sopranos, really.
Oh, the Real Mob Housewives, huh?
Yeah, for any of them to say they're not connected to the mob is dubious to me. In fact, two of the sisters on the show, their father-in-law was found murdered, and he was...
wearing cement shoes?
No, he was stuffed in his trunk, bound and naked with 4 gunshot wounds in his chest.
And a horse's but head.
That totally happens to normal people all the time. So, and this was the first installment where a bunch of them were all like interconnected. So it was two sisters that married two brothers. If you can keep track of all this. And then the third girl married the sister's brother.
Okay. So you've already lost me, but.
So we've got two sisters, a sister-in-law, and then just two other random girls that still all know everybody. So they all knew each other going
wandered
in.
Wandered onto the set or something.
Exactly. Oh, and it last night was the finale, and oh my goodness. There was table throwing. There was the head chick being like, our family is thick as thieves. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Did they put a rim shot in the soundtrack? Maybe the theme from The Godfather or something playing over?
They should have. Oh, it was classic. Oh, these girls are so crazy. And the whole thing they were mad about is that one of the girls had a book written about her by her ex-husband talking about how she was involved in the mob. And I thought, are you kidding me? You guys are all involved somehow. And you're mad at this girl?
Because, well, maybe she broke the omerta or whatever, you know, like the code of silence.
Like, don't talk about it.
Right. I know it was you. You betrayed the family. So they're like throwing tables for like cover for a gunfight or something?
Oh no, just because this girl snapped.
Oh, okay. And the normal people do that all the time too.
Oh yeah, nice restaurants, totally.
Oh, this is at a restaurant.
Oh, a nice restaurant.
Not even flipping her own table.
Huh? Oh no. They're in this nice high class restaurant sitting there having a supposedly civil dinner and the one girl says to her, pay attention and don't interrupt me. And that just made her really mad. Apparently you don't tell this girl to pay attention because she'll flip a table.
Do you ever wonder what like the regular patrons in a restaurant like say you have reservations finally at this really high class restaurant that you've been waiting on the waiting list for months to get into. So you finally get in there, you've been looking forward to this forever, you sit down, and all of a sudden this camera crew and all these people come in and they're filming a reality show and they have this big blow up and they're screaming at each other because somehow in reality shows they always end up screaming at each other and they're, you know, making this huge scene or whatever. I mean, do you think that they ever like ask the restaurant for a refund or, you know, like I think I deserve reservations tomorrow and maybe you could warn me next time if you're going to be sending one of these goofy TV shows in here so that I don't have to deal with mafia women throwing tables at me or whatever.
It's quite possible. I think it depends on who is in the restaurant because some people might just be like, well, look at that dinner and a show.
So like if something happened at a restaurant we were at that was like this, if you'd be okay, you'd be,
I might be okay with it. I might be like, wow, I just got a sneak peek.
I'm sure all but of I them do... just want to be on TV in the background anyway.
Well, you know, in this case, there wasn't I don't know if they cleared the restaurant out for it or if they were just in a back room, but they didn't show anybody else in the restaurant other than the cast. Although I do wonder, does Bravo pick up the tab for all the dishes that chick broke, or does she have to do it? Because that was ratings right there, you know? Like,
yeah, you'd like to think that these people would have to be responsible for their own actions, but
I don't think so.
They are, yeah.
No. So next week's the reunion. I can't wait.
What is this like? They get them all back in a room and they show clips from the show and have them all throw tables at each other again.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Excellent.
And then they ask them questions and they can, you know, they'll ask them viewer questions. It's good times. And they had so much footage from the New York reunion that they played it in like 2 different weeks.
Installments of the reunion?
Yeah, I think they said they had something like 10 hours of footage.
So these people sat in a studio somewhere and talked about themselves for 10 hours?
Yes. And I will tell you something. There are plenty of us out there that would watch all 10 hours of that footage.
I don't know which is worse. So this is our segment we're calling Baby Talk. In this, we're going to not actually talk like babies. I think if we went ahead and started doing Goo Goos and Gagas, people would leave in droves, which is assuming there are droves to leave anyway.
Our 2 fans would stop listening.
Right, and we'd actually lose fans we didn't even have. No, actually, this is what we're just going to talk about, stuff related to our forthcoming baby, and I'm kind of hoping we'll continue doing this even after she's born. I'm not sure how much that's going to actually work, because we have no idea what to expect entirely, but if we do, we'll probably talk about her even postpartum then as well. But
probably have a lot to talk about, too. It's just a matter of if we'll have the energy to do it.
Right. Well, maybe we'll do shorter ones or something, but whenever we do talk about her, we will we'll try and call it Baby Talk.
She won't appreciate that when she's like 15.
It may have to change at some point.
We've been talking a lot actually about how different things are going to be now that we have about 8 weeks to go until her due date.
I'm sorry, we hit the 60-day mark a few days ago, right?
Yep. Which sounds like a long time, but it feels not like enough time now, just because I feel like we put a lot of stuff off. So we have a pretty much empty nursery and
stuff. But it is empty now.
It is empty, yes, so that's good. But we don't have anything to put into it.
Well, we'll get there. I mean, the biggest part was, I think, getting all the stuff that we'd accumulated after 9 years of marriage, and most of that time spent having a spare room where we always had plenty of storage to put all of our assorted books and games and computer garbage and weird exercise equipment and media discs and all kinds of other stuff. And suddenly we didn't have that space to do that anymore, so... would it take me like 4 weekends to get
that? It's kind of sad that we've been paying rent on a 2-bedroom apartment for about 8 years now, and we've never actually converted that second room into like a guest room or really even a fully functioning office. It's just pretty much been storage.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's really not that much different than like public storage.
True, but we have it's right there.
Much easier access to it, exactly.
Exactly. So we've been talking a lot lately about how different it's going to be when Kelly gets here, because we've had almost 10 years of marriage by ourselves, and obviously that's given us plenty of time to do whatever it is we need to do and really make sure that we want to have children. And
well, some
a
of
big
that
change.
Right, and some of that was kind of planned, maybe not quite this long, but I mean, even going in, we talked about wanting to spend sometime, just you and I.
Yeah, you said 5 years, and then we doubled it.
Well, there was some missteps along the way. We eventually got it all figured out, but yeah, it was something that we initially wanted to make sure that we didn't have kids right away and never really have a chance to sort of just be husband and wife and get the idea of, you know, get used to each other and, you know, have a chance to really develop our, I don't know, I guess couple personality. I don't know if that's a thing, but and we did it a lot.
And I sometimes, I don't know, I wonder if waiting so long is almost, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, but I just wonder if people that have kids a little bit earlier on in their marriage, it's not as a shocking thing because they didn't have all that time to just get used to it just being them. Like, I'm a little worried it's going to be a big shock to our system to have this other person in our house and in our lives and in our dynamic.
Well, yeah, I think it probably will be more so than, you know, younger married couples that have kids sort of right away. But I guess I look at it as probably very similar to, you know, say you're a bachelor or a bachelorette for years, you know, like if you don't get married until you're in your earlier mid-30s and you've just been living on your own by yourself that whole time, you know, all of a sudden some of the transitional stuff that I don't know that you and I necessarily had to deal with as much because we hadn't really been out on our own all that much before we got married. You know, all of a sudden there's somebody in your space doing things that aren't the way that you do them and have done them and have gotten used to. They've got their own ways of doing things or whatever. And I think that's probably just something that, you know, people in slightly different time frames and situations have to deal with more so than somebody else.
So yeah, that's true.
I do think it's going to be maybe a bit of a system shock a little bit to suddenly go from being a family of two that we've really gotten accustomed to a family of suddenly three.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be for sure.
Does that worry you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because it takes, I feel like it took us a long time to get to where we are with just the two of us. And but
I think we're in a good place now.
Oh, definitely, I agree. But I'm afraid this little bean is going to come in and kind of rock the boat.
But also, I don't think that we necessarily unlearn everything that we've been able to figure out for the last almost 10 years just because some new variable comes in and changes the dynamic a little bit.
I would agree with that. I think that the thing is, I'm not so worried about us being good parents. That doesn't concern me so much. I have complete confidence in your ability to be a good father. And you're welcome. And I know together that we'll be able to figure out the weird challenges of being parents. I just worry that sleep deprivation is going to cause us to be very short with each other, and the stress and being overwhelmed is going to be a lot. And I'm a little concerned about things like, you know, postpartum depression and things like that. And
but I think we've dealt with similar challenges before, and like I said, you don't suddenly stop having the experience that you already have, especially when, if you're talking in terms of our relationship or whatever. I mean, we've already weathered plenty of storms. Even if this becomes another one, I think that we've gotten better over the years at dealing with them and dealing with them constructively rather than, you know, sort of blowing everything out of proportion or having them be bigger issues than they maybe are just, you know, by themselves. So I think from that perspective, as long as we remember that, you know, when we got into this, not because we were trying to save our marriage or whatever, but because we really wanted to enhance our lives and grow our family, because, I mean, I don't know, to me, I felt like that we had gotten to a place where we had so much love between us that maybe we had a little extra spilling out and we needed sort of an outlet for some place to put that.
I don't know if
that's a little extra poetic license or whatever, but...
You know, I'm sure most of it is just like every other fear I have with the pregnancy. It's just the overinformation and the warnings from parents and, you know, like, everybody telling you, oh, it's going to change everything and your relationship's never going to be the same. And they do it in that tone of voice that scares you. Kind of like, you know, oh, the labor is going to be the worst thing you ever go through and it's going to be the worst pain you've ever felt. Like, I don't need to hear these things, you know?
Like, you have to expect lightning to crash behind them. And you know.
Exactly.
They suddenly go into silhouette and the soundtrack swells up with the pipe organ and all that.
Yeah, if new parents could just every once in a while just tell us, you know, something positive, that would be helpful to me.
Well, I maybe it's just the guy side of it. I think this the general perception is that you don't need to build up a mother to be's excitement level for parenthood. I think there's sort of an understanding or at least an assumption that that's already built in. But I think at least for my conversations, I've gotten a lot more, you know, but it's great. You'll love it. Kind of. I mean, even though they do still have some of the dire warnings and the ominous innuendos or whatever, they do tend to try and soften the blow somewhat when they're talking to me. And I'm not sure that they necessarily do that with you because I think there's sort of a, I don't know, almost like a bond of shared misery in motherhood that you don't, you know what I mean? Like you don't even get to apply until you've had an all nighter where you were breastfeeding and in between breastfeedings, dealing with a screaming baby. So you have, you know, the baggy eye thing or whatever the entire next day. And it's not like all of a sudden you don't have anything to do. You still have to take care of them.
Right. It's like a really, really bad rush week for a sorority.
You know, I bet they could solve a lot of sorority problems if that was actually one of the initiation. So what else has been going on with the old Calliope this week?
She, not much, actually. We went to our appointment on Tuesday and everything was fine, and we won't talk about the scale at all, because that's my worst enemy these days.
I thought you were going to step on it backwards or something.
I don't know what I was thinking when I stepped on it forwards and actually did the math in my head. Ugh. It just ruins the rest of my week every time I have an appointment, which is really unfortunate because we go every 2 weeks right now.
That's a lot of bad weeks.
It really is. Ugh. It's so bad. And
that's like setting yourself up for 1 month out of the next two being not so great.
I know it's all for a good cause, but oh my gosh.
Well, I think you look great. So
Thank you.
Sure what, not sure what exactly you're expecting or hoping for.
I'm hoping to be one of those girls that you see modeling maternity wear.
You could model maternity wear.
No, I couldn't. You know why? Because those girls, I don't think they're actually pregnant. I think they take skinny models and they put one of those fake bumps on them. And then they put them in maternity clothes.
That's pretty cynical. I'm impressed.
Thank you. They have those crazy fake bump things at the maternity stores.
Is it just like a plush something?
It's like a little pillow that you get to strap on you so you can see how the clothing is going to fit you as you get bigger. Which was crazy to me because I didn't even go buy maternity clothes until I already had a bump. So and what, I figured hopefully everything was pretty stretchy.
Are we talking like a throw pillow with a seatbelt on it or something?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
That's crazy.
It really was, and I saw some girl actually using it, which was amusing.
Like she was in there,
she
not
had
pregnant,
it
and just
strapped on.
What
no,
would
I
look
think
like?
She was. I think she was probably pregnant, and she was just, you know,
oh.
so excited to get her maternity clothes, even though she definitely didn't need them yet. So she strapped that pillow on, and.
So were you one of those people that's got the ominous warning walking up to her and be like, you know, don't even bother with the pillow, lady. It's going to get so much worse.
No, because I have hated it so much when people tell me how bad it's going to get and giving me negative feedback that I was thinking today, if I know anybody pregnant from now on, I am not going to give them any warnings. I'm never going to say, oh, it's going to get so much worse, because nobody wants to hear that.
Just let them figure it out for themselves.
Well, no, not necessarily that either. Just, it doesn't all have to be a negative thing, you know?
So what are some positive things about being pregnant? What have you enjoyed?
I think the best part of all is when you can start feeling the baby move. Because that's pretty cool.
At the very beginning or just the entire process?
The entire process, because it changes. Because at the very beginning, it's one of those things where you kind of question it. Like, was that a baby or
did you
do I have gas?
Beans?
And then it starts to get to the point where, you know, okay, that was definitely a kick. Otherwise, my organs are just fighting back inside me.
I've had those days.
And then as you get further along and the baby gets bigger, like now it's crazy because she doesn't just kick. She kind of like rolls around in there and moves her body parts kind of slowly.
Like flipping to the other side of the pillow kind of thing?
Yeah. It's crazy, but it's really cool. And it's reassuring, you know, because at first we had the Doppler to check her heartbeat every day because I'm neurotic and I wanted to make sure everything was okay with the pregnancy. And then you get to the point where you can feel her and it's pretty easy to know baby's okay in there if they're moving around.
Right. So you make sure that if somebody was pregnant coming up behind you, you'd let them know about the kicking and how great that is.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, I think that you, instead of hearing the negatives about pregnancy, maybe tell people the positives, you know?
You can make it your own personal mission.
This is a good mission to have.
Why can't we?